Because I will be on top of it this whole time.
You're listening to the only podcast in the universe where clothing is optional, but pot is not. Broadcasting from FEMA Region 7, it's Bowl After Bowl with your hosts, Lorian and Spencer.
This is a new live son of a bitch.
Let's blame it on the weed, everybody.
Thank you, bitch.
Boost me, bitch.
Boost.
We all listen.
Dance and move your legs around.
I'm a supporter of human beings.
That's right, we support human beings.
Human beings and human beans here in the bowl. Because you're with us, listening to Bowl After Bowl on 2-2-2-2-2-Tuesday.
That's right.
A very special token Tuesday.
It is
February 22nd, 2022.
It is so special, in fact. And we're so happy that you've joined us here in the bowl, wherever you're hearing my voice, whether you're hearing it on the Bowl After Bowl stream or the No Agenda stream or in the CurioCaster app live, which we're now hanging out in. This is episode 139 of Bowl After Bowl. I'm Sir Spencer, Wolf of Kansas City.
And I'm Dame DeLorean.
And we got a heck of a show tonight, man.
We do. I also want to say thank you to Quirk S for sending me the song I used for that intro there. It was part of a 2.5 hour playlist.
Ooh.
Like a mixtape of John Carpenter style retro wave.
Very nice. Tasty, tasty.
A little spoopy.
A little spoopy, a little spoopy. Man, well, it's been quite a busy week since the last time we sat down. I mean, it's kind of hard to believe. It's hard to wrap my mind around that one Tuesday ago, we were over in Tennessee. We were doing this broadcast live from Tennessee. And now we're back. We're back home. Back
yes.
At it.
Made the long drive successfully. It was actually really smooth sailing there and back.
That 8 hour and some change distance, that's kind of like the maximum relaxed distance, you know? That's that one day drive where you can still knock it out. If you leave in the morning at a reasonable time, you can get there same day and not be too wiped about it.
For sure.
It's kind of like the... Plus, we're seasoned, man. We've been out there at...
Once you make that drive to Massachusetts.
Yeah. Across the continent, and then, you know, just getting into Tennessee, that ain't that bad. Especially just this side of Tennessee, the old western side of Tennessee.
Central Time, Tennessee.
That's right, Central Time, Tennessee. Not the real Sir Seat Sitter side of Tennessee. Not the real... Well, since then, we've had a lot of fun. Of course, we did the live stream while we were out there the night before we sat down and did our Bowl After Bowl episode. With Behind the Schemes, and met just some of the greatest people you could ever really hope to meet, honestly. Booberry and Lavish, obviously. Chris, or C-Sitter. Met Nat-Nan, Midas. And that was just at the live stream. Of course, Mittens, or Mittens. Was live streaming with us. Tunta and Mousy Bear. And Tunta joined us for that stream out there. But we met so many people at that meetup. Good lord, it's just like Dame Jennifer... The Duke of the South, Sir Patrick. There were so many people out there. Josh,
Chris Fox.
Josh P.
Yeah. J Pop.
Purple Peck. Man.
So many people and not enough time to really talk to everyone.
I know. 2 hours, it just like, it goes pew.
Especially with the skating activity.
Well, and that's the thing. I'm just like this big bundle of energy when I get into those situations. And I just like... Usually I'm taking care of all the stuff, but this time I was not. Booberry had the live stream set up. Booberry was doing the meetup report. Duke of the South had the food covered. The roller rink guys were working the rink. So I just, of course, I did have the kids there. So trying to teach them to skate a little bit and then just kind of getting the rest of my energy out, just skating, going fast in a big circle. Oh, but man, it was so cool.
It was a blast.
I probably met four Chris's and two Johns. It's like, oh man, it just rolls together, man. But all of it, just a joy. If you haven't been to a No Agenda meetup yet, I'm telling you right now, noagendameetups.com. Check it out. See if there's one near you. And if there's not, I've got to tell you, Lauren and I, 2 years ago or something, we were sitting around always listening for the meetup report, being like, surely there will be a Kansas City one. Surely there will be a Kansas City one. And just like listening and waiting for it. And then just dawned on us one day, wait, we have to make one. Then there will be one. Ba-boom. And it happened. It was that easy.
Simple as.
Simple as. We didn't, all these KC producers that we know now, like really well, they're like family to us now. We had never met them before. And then we made a meetup. And then we made another meetup. And then we made another meetup. It's so simple. It's so easy. And people are like, well, ain't no one come to my meetup. Oh. People will come to your meetup.
That's right.
If they don't, email me and I'll help you make a promo. And then people definitely will come. And C-Dubs rightly points out, there's a new noagendameetups.com. It's been revamped. You got to go check it out. It's excellent. It's excellent. Dude named Daniel made some changes. And if you have already organized meetups, by the way, I was reading about it. I haven't done it myself. But he's asking if you can go in there and kind of re-add all of the past venues. And it's going to help him put stuff together so you can reuse those in the future. Gotta do it. Noagendameetups.com. Make yourself a meetup. Improve your life with a few clicks on your computer. Gotta do it.
No Agenda meetups are also the topic for tonight's first time I ever.
That's correct.
Segment.
That is correct.
Just while we're on, you know, talking about the meetups and stuff.
Yeah, it's a perfect transition.
We want to hear about the first time you ever attended a No Agenda meetup. And it's really simple to contribute your value in this way. All you gotta do is pick up your phone and
call 816-607-3663 and they'll play your voicemail along. Ball after ball. Ball after ball.
That's right. 816-607-3663. The text line works too. If you're voice shy, if you're not so sure about leaving a message first time, it's fine. Just send a text. Send a text. Text, send a picture message. We'll get the picture, if you know what I'm saying.
Hey.
A couple programming notes. First of all, Sunday, we had an absolute blast, epic, silly time with Dave Jones himself of Podcast Index.
Yeah, we did.
Right after No Agenda, did it live, a Bulls with Buds episode. Oh, man.
Super chat.
Super chat activated. The first live item broadcast in the new podcast namespace. This live item we've been so excited for. We've been waiting to roll it out. We had been waiting for a while. You know, last summer they had kind of started the proposal.
They teased it very early.
They teased it. Other things got in the way. People got really excited about cross-app comments and things like that, which is cool. I think we have a lot of ways to communicate, but the more the merrier, I suppose. But now we have this new live son of a bitch, I'm telling you. And thank you, Sir Seatsitter, by the way, for sending me the most appropriate Alex Jones drops I could ever use on that show.
This is a new live son of a bitch.
And, of course,
we are the first. It's not about the credit. It's about I'm spitting this information out at you fast because there's a lot of it, and it's life-saving.
So I got to say, setting up the live item was kind of a bug that I really had, and when Dave Jones was confirmed and going to be on the show, I really wanted to get it up and running by the time we went live. We are hosted by Podbean. So Podbean really does not implement any podcasting 2.0 features. However, they are cheap. They are cheap for hosting. So that's why we are still with them. I really want to self-host, and I'm going to kind of bridge that gap over the next, you know, 9 months as my second year of Podbean expires. Having said that, I do have a hacked RSS feed now. So basically what I did was I just copy and pasted my entire Podbean RSS feed into VS Code, and then I added my own value tags and person tags. I need to go back in and put more person tags in some of our Bulls with Buds, but I did add value tags to some of the later bowls with buds that we did with people who I know for sure have nodes, like the last one we did with Boobery. Now, if you go back and boost that one in any of the new podcast apps, Boobery will receive a split.
Woohoo!
Same is true for... oh, goodness. I'll probably have to pull the feed up now or something silly. Same is true for several others that we've talked to who definitely have nodes. And I just wanted to make sure that that feature was enabled and that we were actually doing it. Of course, Dave Jones, he got the first live splits last Sunday when we were doing that. So everything that came in live with CurioCaster, he got 34% of all of those boosts, which is awesome. I will also mention C-Dubs has a boost CLI script out there, which allows you to boost from your node itself in the command line. And that will also target the live tag in my feed. So if we have a live show going and you're boosting from boost CLI, you'll be boosting to the up-to-the-minute correct value tag, which is what this is all about. That's what makes it so cool. You can make sure that these podcasters are getting their fair split and that you're supporting the people who are, you know, coming right here into your ear holes at this very moment. Cold Acid, we put a value tag in for him. There's Booberry. Going back a little further, I see Sir Bimrose. We talked to him on episode 111. So now if you listen to episode 111, you'll be able to boost Sir Bimrose when you boost that episode. And then going, wow, all the way back to 104, we talked with Abel Kirby. Abel Kirby has a value tag in there as well. And that's as far back as I went. We had another episode with Booberry, but my time has been so limited. And I'm telling you, this Bulls with Buds, I wanted to kind of test everything the night before, and Dave had some fires to put out with his job, his normal daytime job. And so he wasn't able to change my feed in the index to this new hacked feed that I have. So literally my process now includes when I publish to Podbean, I will copy the item tag that it generates. I will paste it into my hacked version. I will add people tags, person tags, and value tags to that. And then I upload that to my own little hosting site. And that's where we're going right now. That's what it's at. So that's the, if you want the freshest, newest feed, bullafterbull.com, you can click that little RSS button and it'll take you to this hacked feed. And for podcasters who are interested in getting on this CurioCaster live thing, it's up and working. Basically, all you need is a live item tag that has the show that you're about to do or that you're doing, which is live. I know Rare Encounter has been having a pending live item tag in their feed. So a live item tag just has to have a status. It's either pending, live, or ended. So once you flip that status to live, CurioCaster will see it and they will serve the information in there. Now, Dave Jones suggests using podcast alternate enclosure to host your stream. There'll be a podcast source tag with your stream link. You can also do enclosure rather than alternate enclosure. We have both in ours, just for good measure, I suppose. But you can name it, any title. Basically, anything that an item takes, a live item will also take. So you just build it like you would build a regular item, a regular show. But you can customize your value block in that same thing. You can customize the person tag, so you get all your people, get their little thumbnail in there and a link to their website. It's crazy stuff. It's good stuff. It's awesome. If you are interested in adding that to your feed, I'm happy to help you. And I should also mention that Stephen Bell is working on Sovereign Feeds to make adding the live feed easier, making that live item easier. He expects to be done this week, but Sovereign Feeds. This is the RSS generator that will allow you to not rely on a host to do it for you. Basically, you can just generate your own feed with this tool, and it's going to be excellent. It's going to save you so much headache. It's going to keep you from popping open some kind of IDE and typing it all out yourself like some mad scientist or something. I mean, you look like a mad scientist to people who don't know what's going on, and then to people who do know what's going on, you look like the complete idiot that you are. So, you know,
womp, womp.
Running with scissors? No. We have progressed far beyond running with scissors. We are now zooming down the freeway on crotch rockets, wielding machetes. That's what's going on right now. And it's fantastic. It's an excellent time. So yeah, we had a total blast. You made some awesome art too.
Oh, well, Dave's truck was such a muse and great to work with.
Yeah, I just knew it had to be the truck, man. I was like, I got to find a picture of this truck.
You sent me that for inspiration, and I was like, psh,
I knew done. I knew right when you got it, I was like, she's going to make something out of this for real.
I'm like, I want the truck crashing in, and I want trippy, psychedelic, rainbow-colored trucks in the background.
No doubt. So, yeah, very next day, yesterday, Adam went on the Survival Podcast and just kind of did another revamp of where Podcasting 2.0 is at, but... talked about our project, talked about the Abel and the Wolf project, and talked kind of about a new node solution that I had seen before. Start 9 has a node out, and sort of like a alternative or competitor to the Raspberry Blitz and the Umbral, which we're both very familiar with. Another node out there for people looking into potential nodes and how to get noded up. And they do have... how-tos, by the way, of getting it up and running on, like, old laptop that you might have laying around or something like that. So, something to check out. Something definitely to check out. I actually did go through and pull a couple of clips because I was just so giddy about this stuff. So, here's clip one.
A year and a half into the project, we have 4,500 podcasts that are value-for-value enabled. We have 15 podcast apps that have integrated some or all of our Podcasting 2.0 features, which are also more than 10 and continue to be built. And we have a real community that is doing insane shit. Like yesterday, out of the blue, the app, one app in particular, just started to advertise a live stream where you'd normally see your podcast. Said, hey, live item. It opened up a chat. You could send messages in real time into with a boostergram, so with money into the chat to the podcaster. It was, and it was like on a live stream, the whole thing just, and it's like four to five different people all came together kind of on this Sunday. Oh yeah, I think we can do this now, and my piece is ready, and boom, it just happened. And that, was the Bowls with Buds. It was mind blowing. So this project is, it's a, with David Bowie, when he was describing the internet to the BBC, I think this was around 2000, he said, it's a fucking alien monster. We have no idea what it can do yet. And I think we're starting to see the monster, the tip of the monster's tongue now.
Yes, we're seeing the tip of that tongue. The tip of that tongue was uncomfortably close to me, let's say, as I was getting ready for all this on Sunday. And of course, if you go to curiocaster.com, like all respectable websites these days, it's an HTTPS secured website, you know, it's encrypted. And most Icecast streams, if you click on them and load them up, you'll notice they're not typically that, they're just HTTP. And the problem comes when you go to a secure site that's behind SSL and you try to load some just plain old HTTP element in it, and you'll notice that browsers don't really like that so much. And so during No Agenda, as we're queued up to be next, No Debit helped me tremendously in getting all of that figured out and getting my HTTPS up for the stream. So I'm in tremendous debt to you, No Debit. I'm really not sure what the hell we would have done if it didn't work in CurioCaster during that. Like, it would have just been kind of a fizzle. So thank you so much. I appreciate that a lot.
And, yes, thank you.
And of course, we've been streaming ever since we very first started bringing the show live on the Bull stream. That's all been thanks to No Debit and his Icecast stream that he graciously lets us use. So thank you so much for that, sir. You just keep kicking ass, and he never asks for anything for it, never will accept anything for it. Just is a genuine dude, man. He's just here to be a part of it. And that's what I really love about all of this, man. We're all just a part of it. Like Adam said, it was like four or five guys on a Sunday just being like, hey, I think we're ready to do this. Like, I think it's going to work. And, you know, a couple of days before, I'd messaged Stephen Bell on the Podcast Index social and was like, hey, man, how's that CurioCaster live? Is it going to work? What do I need to do? Do I need to pod ping? That was a big question, like, because I still don't understand pod ping. I still don't know how to do it. I know that... Alex Gates and Brian of London have both said that they walk me through it when I'm ready. I'm trying to find my Hive credentials because I made them like a year ago. I have them somewhere. I saved them specifically. I just got to figure out on which freaking laptop around here they're on. But turns out I didn't actually need that for the CurioCaster. All you got to have is a live item with a status alive in there. So just if anybody's curious about that, I can help you get the live going at the very least. And I really want to be writing pod pings too. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say that we shouldn't use pod ping. Dave Jones was handing out pod ping pills on the show. And we'll get that integrated as soon as we can figure, wrap our tiny little minds around it. I promise. But turns out you don't need it necessarily for the CurioCaster, which is good. Good. Good for quick starts when you really are just trying to launch the damn thing.
And everyone got to enjoy the boost after boost bot.
That's right. C-dubs, along with plenty of help from other bowlers like Cotton Gin, Cold Acid, Servo. Some others, maybe. I hate listing people off because I'm always like inevitably missing somebody. But yes, boost after boost is the bot that will read the boostograms as they come in. So typically what we see is that the boost bot will read them, and then you'll hear the pew from helipad coming just right in there behind it. So it's lightning fast. It's so cool. And I can't thank everybody from the bottom of my heart enough for just hanging out and building all this stuff with us. It's like this whole podcasting 2.0, the way it's set up, the way Value for Value is set up, the way that our community has organically sprouted from these seeds that were planted years before. It's just, I get speechless. I get dumbstruck. I don't really know what to say about it. Just being a part of it is so fulfilling, and the collaborative atmosphere that has come about because of it is just so humbling. Like, we're all here to help each other grow and to teach each other and to learn from each other. And it's not the competitive environment that you see other places. Like, I've done other projects and produced content over the years, and doing it with these people in this environment, like, there's just nothing I can say for how rewarding and purpose driven it is. It's awesome. I did have one more clip from the Survival Podcast yesterday, Curry.
I get goosebumps, man. I get goosebumps just thinking about it. Not so much about the outcome of how it will work, that it will work. It's about the people who are coming together to make it work. Everybody bringing their own little piece.
It's exactly my sentiment as well. When I heard that, I got emotional, man. I'm not going to lie. Like, I've been running around so quickly with like so little time left on the clock to try and get this in by these deadlines. Is, you know, we do the show every Tuesday at a certain time. Once DH Unplug wraps up, it doesn't matter how ready I am. It doesn't matter how many notes I've taken or not taken. Like, it's time for the show. The show must go on. And so it's kind of like today just blew me away listening to that and catching up, because we're only just cracking this nut. We're only just getting this thing started, and the magnitude of it, I think it's gonna take a while to like look back in the rearview mirror and really kind of appreciate what we've all built here. But today was a huge day for me, appreciating it for sure. Another programming note: tomorrow night I'm gonna be on Melodious Owls. Tom Starkweather's podcast, so be sure to check that out. We'll have a link in the show notes for that.
Ooh, ooh. I can't get my voice to come out, sorry. Ooh, it's all messed up right now.
Ooh, ooh. Ooh,
ooh. I was trying to get you to play Joe.
There we go. You got it. It worked.
Yeah.
Abel Kirby just was on there and had a fantastic appearance. And Abel Kirby, he always talks about how terrible he is at everything and how bad he is. He's such a sweetheart. Such a humble man.
He lives in opposite world.
He just kicks so much ass and then goes, well, that was like pretty terrible, really. And I don't know. Reminds me of me a little bit. I can definitely jive with that. But God, dude, the stuff that he made, and he really did a deep dive on some of the music that he's put out and sort of his like musical theater background and how he came up. It was very interesting. So if you have a chance to listen and you're even a quarter of the Abel Kirby fan I am, you will really enjoy the Melodious Owls podcast, the episode that he appeared on. We'll have that in the show notes and a link for the show itself, so be on the lookout for that.
That's right. I also heard Adam name drop Abel and the Wolf with the Stay a While album on
yes, indeed.
Survivalist podcast.
He mentioned Abel and the Wolf and even got the URL dropped in for that. So, yeah, very humbling, man. It just, you could have knocked me over with a feather, man, when I was listening to that earlier. It's crazy. These are crazy times. It really feels like this thing is starting to pick up and, you know, the wings are spreading and this thing is coming off the ground, man. So it's awesome. It's just an awesome time. Speaking of an awesome time, we've got a Bowls with Buds coming up.
That's right. This Friday, Mousy Bear and Tunta will be here in the bowl with us.
That's right. Look forward to that. Mark it down. Friday night. Friday night.
Do we have a set time yet?
I haven't set a time, but it probably will be like right around 9 p.m. Central, just like this show. So, Tunta and Mousy, we will have gummies in the bowl. We will have four mics.
Yes.
Four mics, two here, two there. So it'll be nice and balanced. Do you guys sleep? Asks Oma. Sleep's for when you're dead, I think, right?
Something like that.
I do need 40-hour days, though, because these 24-hour days are just not cutting it for me.
Seriously.
I really would have liked to have taken more clips. I would have liked to have... I've got some ISOs that Boobery sent me that I wanted to add to the board. Nope. Didn't have time to do that. So maybe next show. Some other things I've got coming up in on-chain, off-chain I'll talk about that I was doing. Just running around like an idiot, just like I always do. But
we got those behind the schemes photos taken.
That's
like,
right.
After midnight on Sunday.
Yep. It was like, so Boobery gave you that shirt, right?
Yes, at the Nashville meetup. And Boobery gifted me the first behind the schemes shirt that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
And I fucking love it. And it's so epic. And there will definitely be more pictures in it, but...
Yeah, we had the BTS shoot, so we figured, you know, since it was a Sunday, like...
They're going live Monday, so gotta get it done.
Had to get it done. Because, you know, we had planned to do it, and then you were kind of like, I don't know, a little tired, and I was definitely tired. And
Well, here we go. We're always tired, but...
Yeah, I'm tired right now, hell. But you can't stop, man. You just can't stop. I'll put a couple of them in the bowl, just because I have them right here in front of me. Yeah, we were just like, you know what? If we don't do it now, then we're not going to do it in time for the show, and then that's going to make me sad because I'm going to have to wait a week, and it's going to be on my mind.
We can't let down Boobery and Lavish.
Exactly.
They were the fucking MVPs there, holding it down at the meetup with the stream going the whole time. Speaking of which, we have a bonus bowl that got published this week.
That's right. Another programming note. Another programming note. Bonus bowl was released. That's episode 138, where... we did this in conjunction with Behind the Schemes and with Abs in a Six Pack, where we all put the Nashville meetup from the skating rink, the live stream that Boob set up from the skating rink. We published that onto the feed. And yeah, so you can listen to it in any of those places, and they're all interlinked, and it's just a nice, it's not a circle jerk, it's more of a triangle jerk, if you think about it.
Triangular tricks.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, anyways, it's Palindrome Week.
It is palindrome week, palindrome day.
Yeah, every day this week is a palindrome.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yep. And we got the row of ducks.
We did. We got 222-2022.
On a Tuesday. I was so excited.
All the twos. All the twos landed on us, man. Pew!
I think we got some people to thank, too.
We do have some people.
We are
to thank.
A value for value podcast here in the bowl at Bowl After Bowl.
You better believe it. We are value for value.
Value!
This is. We have. Very exciting gift that showed up at the bowl right before we were leaving for Nashville.
That's right. I have it right here, in fact. These are a major award that I won on the Hog Story podcast. I don't know if you've heard of it. You may have heard of it. Hogstory.com, hogstory.net. So many ways to get there. And yeah, I won some candy. I don't know if you can hear that. In your ear holes, but yes, it is a major award. Cara Blaines is right. I won the candy. Candy-capped mushroom, in fact. And how does it look from the outside? Well, this actually looks like any sort of a modern-day weed bag. If you get weed from a dispensary, it's in the same sort of a packaging where it's like...
Yes, the silver aluminum back with a the Ziploc thing, you know, you slide your finger across. Clear front. It's got a nice printed sticker on the front from Lofty Pursuits, who made these candies. Public displays of confection. I love it.
Heyo.
You can check out their candies at www.pd.net. Fun fact. Well, let me get one out. And what are these? Mushroom candies?
It says on the back, I believe, they're mushroom cap, candy cap mushrooms.
Candy cap mushroom.
Candy cap mushroom. Here it goes.
Mmm.
Sweet. Okay. It's sweet and tasty.
It's a little maple-y.
Yeah, kind of like maple with a little earthiness.
Yeah. Almost a little beefy. Maple beef. Mm.
Yeah, it's maple got that, beef candy. It's got that like umami to it.
Oh, you're going to bite yours?
Okay. Oh, yeah, I'm biting it. Because otherwise I'm going to be sucking on this thing and then I'm going to be talking all funny.
Going to be sucking in shut. Nah, I'm just sucking in shroom candies.
Whoa. Those are different, man.
I like it.
It's like, it tastes like candy for grown-ups almost.
Yeah.
Not that kids wouldn't like it, but I'm saying, like, there's sort of a, ooh, you just got it too, didn't you?
The mushroom.
There's this mushroom, like, almost like dustiness, and it comes up the back of your nose.
Yep.
It, as soon as you said it, I also, we experienced it at the same time. And now I'm breathing, and I'm like tasting mushroom in the air as I'm breathing.
That's right.
That's incredible, dude. That is wild. These are something else, man. Ingredients: sugar, corn syrup, citric acid, natural and artificial flavors, natural and artificial colors. May contain traces of coconut oil. How do they pack that mushroom flavor in there?
I know. I felt like I just ate a whole mushroom.
It's like once it hits, you're like, holy, it hits.
Mm. That was delicious.
That's something else, man. Thank you, Carolyn and Fletcher.
Yeah, thank you. We love you guys. Hog Story. Check them out if you haven't already.
Man, that stuff was, that was intense, man. That was intense.
We also got a card.
We did get
in the
a card.
Poll this week. It has a beautiful eagle on the front of it.
Proof of card? It does. It has a bald eagle looking down, ready to just swoop in and swallow something up. It looks... If you look closely, actually, at this eagle, you'll see that it's tethered to something. Look at that. Look, it's got
Oh, yes, on its feet.
It's got ropes attached to each foot.
Huh.
And like carabiners and such. So this is someone's eagle, whether it's a conservation department or I'm not sure. Interesting. Fascinating. Yes. And it's from our friend, M. Andrew Jones, who says, he wrote this, by the way, on the 10th, and it arrived in the mail. When we got back, it was in the mail.
That's right.
So sometime while we were in Tennessee, perhaps. It showed up at the door. M. Andrew Jones says, in the bowl, my friends, here's a little old-timey money, excuse me, to help keep the lights on. Thank you for your courage, M. Andrew Jones. P.S. Did you finish Metal? We did, indeed. If you mentioned it on the show, I missed it. funny you should mention it. We were digging through the show, frantically trying to find where the hell we had talked about it. Because we definitely did.
Yes.
I know we talked about, we did find the episode that we first received Metal and we talked about it, which was
99.
That's right. So episode 99 is when you sent it to us and we got it. And then I have not found when we finished it, but it couldn't have been more than a few weeks later. It was in the same month.
I think I would say definitely between 99 and 108, which was my birthday.
Right. Cause we were out in Mass by that time.
I believe we both had read it before we left for Massachusetts.
So maybe Bowlers can help, but I will definitely try and comb through and find where we talked about Metal the second time. He also says, PPS, thank you for reading my words. Well, thank you for writing them and sending them to the bowl along with this postal money order of 3333.
Seriously, I have a link to M. Andrew Jones's website and a direct link to a copy of Metal if you're interested in reading it. It was a great read. It was a fast read, and it was exciting. It's like, hey, you can do anything you want, so what are you going to do?
Yeah.
It was like a very big premise of the book, and it was intense. And music, of course.
Yes. Yeah, that musical aspect was fun, and it was. It was like a rush. It was a page-turner, and it kept you wanting to get to the end.
And it takes you to Hawaii.
Oh, it's beautiful. The settings are beautiful. The characters are just like straight out of your friend group. So, check it out. Metal. We'll have links. you know, we got you with the links. On the PayPal, we got a few people to thank, including a couple of people that came in with the 2222 row of ducks there. Jay Purple Peck says, in the bowl.
In the bowl, Jay Pop Pop.
Jay Pop Pop.
So awesome meeting you in Nashville.
Yeah, it was a blast out there. We also got 2222 from Dan, also known as NA Millennial, in the chat yes. and elsewhere.
Thank you, sir. You can check out Millennial Media Offensive now on the No Agenda stream, too.
That's right.
They came in live on the post show Thursday.
I'm not sure that was a live one.
Oh, sorry. Maybe not live, but right after it was post show.
Right at, yeah. Their episode was played right after No Agenda on Thursday, last Thursday. And they are, yes, a regular occurring show on the stream now. Bimrose has added them to the No Agenda stream. So that's exciting. You guys are just hitting the ground and running super fast, which I'm proud to see. You guys are kicking it ass.
And Dan in the chat says they're going live April 3rd.
Live on April 3rd. So that'll be cool. That's a post-NA show, I assume.
Yes.
Let me look at
that. I think that's a safe assumption.
That'll be April 3rd. Yes, on a Sunday. So there you go.
They're doing it live.
That's they've got a new live son of a bitch as well.
This is a new live son of a bitch.
Congratulations, fellas. Yeah, we were talking about them on the last Misinformed Nation. And man, they have just cranked it up to 11. And just, you can tell they really want it, man. They're doing the grind. I'm seeing them in the troll room. So it's awesome. Congratulations, fellas. Coming a long way in a short amount of time. And I love that kind of stuff. Also coming in is Sharky Shark with a stonation.
Sharky!
420, thank you. Thank you, Sharky.
Sharky in the bowl!
Love you. And you know we can't forget about these boostagrams, because we got some boostagrams, let me tell you. You've been hearing them as they come on the show, and that pew sound is this thing we like to call Helipad that Dave Jones wrote. It's basically a web app that watches your node if you run one. And it reads your boostagrams live as they come in real time. Shows you the balance of your sats, so you can see them all in one place. It's got a little CSV export now, where you can click and just get all your data exported as CSV, and then you can open it in Excel, and then you can drool over the data like a nerd, like a true good nerd.
It's 22:22 Central Time.
It is. 22:22. On 22:22, people are losing it for good reason. Pewing. So I'm trying to find where the sats stopped for the last show. They are going to be right in here somewhere. Bowls with Buds, honk, loveislit.com. Here we go. All right. And we got a few boosts in the meantime after we stopped going live, but we were published. RK Wiley sent us 500 sats from Fountain. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. RK Wiley.
Yes. The next boost is 420 from N4VX.
Aw, thanks, N4VX.
He used KyrioCaster. Chad Farrow showing up with 333.
Oh, yeah. Chad F in the bowl.
In Fountain as well. And then another 500 from Chad from Fountain. Chad then sends another 500 with a note this time. He says, love the System of a Down jingle. We'll have that. We'll have that for you next, I promise. Then today, 7 hours ago, from Boost CLI, C-Dubs used his own script to boost us, and he said, honk honk for being number 14 most boosted on Fountain. Oh, yeah. Thank you for the honks. Talk a little bit more about that coming up. 311 from Daisy Cutter.
Oh, thanks, Daisy Cutter.
Who also used Boost CLI, so that's the first time I've seen Daisy Cutter. From Boost CLI. Fantastic. 33 sats coming in.
Through
KyrioCaster. 3 times 33. So thank you. C-Dubs again said honk, honk, honk. Oh, he added a honk. I see. Now he's 222. He says honk, honk, honk for being number 14 most boosted on Fountain. Thank you, sir. I got the honk. Sorry about that. 8888 from Abel Kirby.
Woo, Abel.
Trolling me on the pre-stream saying, this is so fucking gay. Thank you, Abel. Keep it fruity. Another 8888, he says, Friday sounds good. You can check out Abelcraft on Friday, because that is certainly what he's referring to. going to sit down and have another episode of Able Craft. There's a lot of things going on still in the streaming sats to music world. We want to make sure that everybody's a part of it. And then another 8888 from Abel Kirby, because he's just insane on the boost chain. He says, na 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 knees, knees. Thank you, Abel Kirby. I do want to say, for whatever reason, our girls lately have taken this fondness or liking to calling each other Abel Kirby. And being like, no, you're Abel Kirby. No, you're Abel Kirby. I don't know where it came from, well, but...
And also, one day you, like, popped your head in on them, and you were like, who is it? And they both looked at you and said, you're Abel Kirby.
Yeah, I don't understand it, but I mean, it's a real thing. And I, every time I pull out my phone to try and get it recorded, then they just stop.
They're done, yeah.
So, I'm working on it.
He does wield the ring.
I'm working on it. Yeah, what the hell? What the hell? 2222 sats from Cotton Gin Tonic.
All right, Cotton Gin Tonic.
Our buddy Cotton Gin out of Fountain, he says honk honk. Get the honks going. 222 out of Breeze. Happy 222-22 Tuesday. Thank you very much. Anonymous from Breeze. You are always anonymous, by the way, in Breeze, so unless you sign your boostagram, we won't know who you are, which is, you know, if you want to use for reasons of anonymity, Breeze is the most anonymous one. 100 sats from Servo. He just says test. It worked. Good job, Servo. Out of Boost CLI there. Abel Kirby 8888 and CurioCaster. He said check one, check two. That's CZECH check. The best kind of check. The CSB approved check, let's say. Another 8888 from Abel Kirby. He says virtual environments are for losers. What do you mean I can't deploy a web app in debug mode? Who's going to stop me? No one is going to stop you. You mad lad. 222 from C-Dubs out of Boost CLI. Honk, honk, honk for being the one number 14 most boosted on Fountain. He doesn't want to let anybody forget. Another honk, honk. 222, two. Two 222. That's five twos. I'm trying to say it right. Woo! Five twos. 22,222, in fact, from Cotton Gin. Honk, 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 honk. That's five honks, baby. 8888 boost after boost, says Abel Kirby again from CurioCaster. 1024 from Signs of New Growth, as Signs of New Growth was listening to the Bulls with Buds with Dave Jones in Fountain. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We appreciate that. 8888 again from Abel Kirby because he just won't stop. I love it. He says he boosted from CurioCaster to Bowl After Bowl live, which is going on right now. He says, listening to live stream in a podcast app, is this the first time ever? It's the second time ever. And the first time, actually, for a Tuesday show. And I will be brief, because I know we're just dragging this out, and I'm so sorry. So it's a meaty show today, because so much shit has gone down in the past week. But I want to say, in my use case, in our use case, the way our show is set up, we have a Tuesday show every night that you're listening to right now. Bowl After Bowl. That is its own live item. We also have Bowls with Buds, which we don't really know when they're going to go down. They're going to go down on a Friday, on a Sunday, on whenever we can schedule them. That is a separate live item that's still in the same feed. And so I just switch what's pending and ended and live. I just kind of do a little dance around depending on what show is going on. And it's a, I think it's an interesting use case because we have an interesting need for this. But in that sense, it is the first time ever for the Bowl After Bowl live item to be boosted. So thank you very much, Abel Kirby.
Yeah, thank you, Abel.
A true pioneer in Podcast 2.0 and Lightning Universe. And you can take that from the Podfather himself. 420 sats from C-Dubs. He tested the second ever live Bowl After Bowl. As I pointed out earlier, Boost CLI will also boost live shows, so you are to be commended, sir, for that. You're on the cutting edge of this technology as it's rolling out. 2169! 69! 69, dudes! That is also from C-Dubs, as he says, boost me, bitches!
Boost me, bitch!
Well, thank you, bitch.
Thank you, bitch!
I had to get that one. Five more twos. That's 22,222. Sats from Harv Hat, all twos on a Tuesday, he says. coming in on that CurioCaster Live. Stephen B. 2222. He also boosted live from CurioCaster. He says, "Happy birthday to my wife, Stacy, 222-2022. Wow.
Epic. Happy birthday, Stacy.
Yes, happy birthday, Stacy. Happy birthday. 6969 from C-Dubs.
69, dudes.
Yay! He says, "Do me. Get in line, buddy." here comes another one. Oh, by the way, this new helipad, it's throwing confetti at you when these things come. I mean,
it's awesome.
Whoever said Dave Jones can't do front end, I will show up to their house and poop on their welcome mat in person because they're incorrect.
In Minecraft.
In real fucking life. Mark my words, mark my turds. 2222 sats anonymous in Breeze.
That is from Midas.
Boosting some ducks from the 402.
Maybe
ain't in the 402.
He's not in the 402, but sorry. I got it in my notes. Pew!
That's our Oma friend.
Yeah, Sir Oma. Thank you.
2222 sats from Carolyn.
Oh, Carolyn Blaney.
Love both of you. Happy 2202 to 2022. Oh, that's that Canadian stuff sneaking in. It does make sense to go day, month, year as the thing goes from smaller to bigger. So I get it. It's like one of those things, kind of like metric system. It makes sense, you know? That's why we don't use it, because it makes too much sense. From Breeze, another 5-2s to 22,222 sets. I got to get better at that. This is Phoneboy in Phoenix sending a row of ducks. Thank you.
Aw. Quack. Yeah, we love you, Phoneboy in Phoenix. Check them out, lotuspodcast.net.
You got to check it out every Saturday. 10,420. That's 10,420 sats from Servo, coming in from Boo CLI. He says, "Doppelganger test." I don't know what doppelganger part, but it worked. We got the sats, and we thank you very much, sir. 333 from Booberry, and then he did it again. He boosted the Tennessee meetup bonus bowl, and then he also boosted the live. And then he dropped 33,333 on the live as well.
Big boosty boobs in the bowl.
Boosty boobs. Or could it be?
Or could it be her massive stripper titties?
Always could be, I suppose. 9999, which I don't have a drop for, but from Cotton Gin, 9999! He left no note, just that, so love you, man. 4242 from Carolyn. CurioCaster Live. She says, "Podcasting 2.0 is so exciting. Double 4242 excited." Hell yes. 6969 from user 81369683, big string of numbers. Out of fountain. This booster says, "Time. Just takes time." And crazy face emoji. Oh, and then our user updated their name to NetNed.
Yeah, NetNed.
Revealing the identity. NetNed. Or could it be NetFed? Helps if you change the username first. Whoops, he says. Ah, no, you got it figured out. You got it ironed out, NetNed. NetNed, too, we met out in Tennessee. Lovely people. Did I mention NetNed on the stream? NetNed was on the stream as well. Behind the schemes, you got to check that out. Fletcher, out of Breeze, he says, "Fletcher, twos for the twos of yous, below the waist. Kisses." Woo, felt that one. And then finally, 2 minutes ago, hot off of the boost presses, 5042 from Cotton Gin, live out of CurioCaster, he just says, "Boost."
That's some tasty boost bait.
Here's your cue to boost. You know you want to.
Holy moly, it is a boost cocky. Boobery's right. Let's see if I can play it on the fly.
It's a boost cocky.
There we go. It's a boost cocky. Woo.
Thank you all so much, bowlers.
Yeah, you guys are, it's just humbling. We are very grateful and indebted to all you guys. Just the hype, the support, the value. And this is why we do what we do. We put the value in, we get the value back. This is a great community of support. An orgy of sats, a sad orgy. Says the bowlers in the chat. We are spitting them out, spraying them sats all over the place, and we thank you so much. One of our boosters had mentioned that they really loved the We call it the cocaine shit stain song around here. It's the System of a Down jingle.
On-chain, off-chain, cocaine shit stain.
On-chain, off-chain, cocaine shit stain. On-chain, off-chain, go. Streaming sad, boost the grounds, make they really wanna build a node.
Yes, you know you wanna build a node, and I built a Raspy Blitz node long ago. Was the second node, because of course we got this whole thing started on a voltage node at voltage.io, and we rented one for a year. It was a really great service. And then we started building our own home node, so I built the Raspy Blitz.
I got the Umbral going.
And now we're kind of sovereign. We run our own nodes. So Raspy Blitz 1.7.2 is now out. It's live, and I just updated to it before the show, which is the biggest reason why I wasn't able to get some of the other stuff I wanted done in time. But it's out. It's rocking. I flashed it to the SD card and then booted my stuff up, and everything just worked beautifully. It just restored. In fact, the big cheese for me on 1.7.2 is I got Helipad added to it as a service. So now, if you're on the latest version of the Raspy Blitz, you can just go into additional services menu. You can hit the space bar by Raspy Blitz, check that box, hit OK, and it will install Helipad for you. It just does it. It just puts it on your machine, and then you're running it. You can navigate to it in the browser, just like you do with Thunderhub, just like you do with Ride the Lightning. It totally works. And one caveat I will say is it will install version 0.1.8 of Helipad, which is one behind the latest. So I think that you're missing the confetti in that and a couple other cool things. Very simple to do. Just go into config.scripts. You edit your bonus.helipad.sh. Just change that version name. It's going to say 0.1.8. Change it to 0.1.9. Some of you are like, Spencer, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know how to do that. Well, all you got to do is email me, spencer@bullafterbull.com. And I'll walk you through it. I will hold your hand. I will tell you exactly how to do it. It is much easier than the script we've been running people on to get it installed. And that was pretty easy itself. So all you got to do is change that number and then run the script with the update argument. And it updates itself. It's flawless. It's awesome. A couple of things we want to aim for in the next release of Raspy Blitz. One would be just to have the code dynamically go and fetch the latest version. Just check Dave's repo over there and look at the helipad and see what's the latest one and just grab that one so we don't have to keep manually telling it what version we're on all the time. And the other thing I want to do is add, there is an actual update menu in Raspy Blitz. So you can go down and you can say like manual updates. So like if there's a Raspy Blitz patch, you can call it from that menu, or certain services, not very many, but like RTL and Thunderhub, I think, have update calls in there. Just want to add the update call in that menu too. So there's still work to be done. There's always work to be done. And, you know, we're going to keep an eye on it. But overall, I'm really proud to say that now all the Raspy Blitz running podcasters can throw Raspy Blitz on. So if you're running a Lightning node and it's an Umbral or it's a Raspy Blitz, I think the two most popular ones, you can now install Helipad quite easily. Super user-friendly. So you can be reading boostergrams on your show. You can be thanking people just like we did. We're having a hell of a time. And we highly recommend it. As far as the other updates to the Raspy Blitz, one that stood out to me, when you're doing the bash line, usually there's that little dollar sign when you're entering your commands. It starts with a little dollar sign when you're entering in bash. And now they changed it to a little Bitcoin sign. And I'm telling you, it's subtle, but it's beautiful. It's a very beautiful little thing to see that Bitcoin, little Bitcoin symbol right before you execute every line of your, in the command line. I love it. I love that. Other than that, I think we do have an update on the price of sats. We are a little bit down, so they're on sale still, which is nice because my checks have started coming again, so I'm going to get this 30... right now we're at $37,975, which gets you 2,633 sats per the dollar. In fact, 2,613 is the number that our bot is giving us there in Bull After Bull. Thank you, Servo, for calling that bot. Yeah, so right around 2,600 sats per dollar. And it's a great time to grab some sats, support your favorite podcasts. There's a lot of them out there taking sats, including that survival podcast we played earlier. So, yes, that is all of my shit stain for today, baby.
No, you've got a Bitcoin meetup coming up Thursday.
Oh, you're right. Thank you for reminding me. Bitcoin meetup, KC people, kcbitcoiners.com. We're having another meetup. This one's going to be on the plaza, I believe at the Grand Falloon.
Ooh.
So that'll be fun. 6 p.m. Be there or don't care.
And I just want to remind people there is a Kansas City Bitcoin block party on April 24th. And it would sure be cool to see you there.
Yeah. Come on out to that. That's going to be another kind of record setter, first of its kind type of thing. 424, which will be cool. It's going to be all vendors selling only via Bitcoin. So you can buy merch via sats.
That's right.
Lauren will be selling dream catchers. We'll have the magic dragon egg for sale for a ridiculous sum. I haven't really decided what number I'm going to put on it, but I know it's going to be a lot.
One Bitcoin.
maybe. Maybe not quite that much.
No, but, not that much.
But a lot. A lot.
And then finally,
maybe like 21,000 Bitcoin. Or 21,000 sats, I should say. Okay.
22 bajillion!
Yes.
Gonna be more than 21,000 sats.
What did I say? 21,000? 21 million.
Yeah, that's
what
21 I mean. Million 21 sats. Million sats. A lot better,
21 million sats. That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking in my head right now.
Yeah, that sounds good.
21 million. Because, you know, there's going to be 21 million Bitcoin ever, so that's a good number. 200, wow. I think you got too many zeros in that one.
Yeah. But also, I want to remind people that the Sphinx Tribe is still rocking and rolling. We made a new one. So you want to look for the one that has the emojis in front of it. And another tip to finding it is that there's no entry fee.
That's right.
It is free to join our Sphinx Tribe, the Bull After Bull Sphinx Tribe.
Free for a limited time. So we're going to put that 420 sat join fee back in there soon.
That's right.
So join it up. Because you know that we have that Sphinx Tribe rocking, man.
You know what's also free?
They really got the Sphinx Tribe rocking.
What else is free? I'm sorry.
Wandering along the coastline, finding buried treasures. Which is what happened to some dude in Norway when he found a Maine Department of Transportation hard hat 3,300 miles away in his homeland.
Wow.
Yeah, it was just buried under some seaweed on the coast. Seaweed. Seaweed.
Got seaweed just thinking about it.
I want a seaweed. I do seaweed. Anyways, Maine DOT is not asking him to return the hard hat. See, there's a lot of combinations here. We're talking about being hard hats, you know. Pew! And, instead, they're going to send him some goodies from the Pine Tree State.
Anyone else hard?
Yes, that hat.
Yes. It's a hard hat, for sure.
The hardest of all hats. Not to be confused with a Harv hat.
No, not to be confused with the Bull's lovely Harv hat.
Who doesn't just wash up on any shore.
No, we wouldn't let that happen to him.
Yeah, that's right.
And we also wouldn't let him get caught after a 33-mile chase with the police. If he had 14 warrants.
No way, man.
Yeah, but that happened to some dude in North Carolina.
Wow.
30 years old. Wanted for a litany of things like vehicle theft, possession of firearms as a felon, assaulting government officials, and, of course, ultimately fleeing arrest. So they pulled him over, and he decided to just drive his truck into the three officers that were trying to get him. And then crossed county lines and such, you know. 33 miles later, it didn't end well for him. They got him. They stopped the man.
Oh, jeez.
He's got a $298,000 secured bond. And
damn.
More charges expected to rack up. So, yeah, he also drove down the highway in the wrong direction.
Uh-oh.
So, that's never good. That just makes him madder.
Yeah. It's like in Grand Theft Auto, the reason that your stars keep like going up and then up is you're doing like more crimes while you're trying to run and get away from the crimes you already did. Yeah, you can't just keep adding to it, man.
Yeah, I wouldn't suggest it, that's for sure.
Man, are there actually mushrooms in these?
Yeah.
Blow.
Mexico intercepted 1,266 U.S.-bound migrants from how many countries in one day? You know it, 33.
There it is.
They didn't list out all 33 countries. It kind of ticked me off. Oh. I got like 18.
So you couldn't confirm that it indeed was 33. They might just be tugging your jug.
Where are these journalists from? I don't know. Looks like
what
CNN.
Outfit is this? Whose man's is this?
They're all the same.
They're all the same.
You know, those M5M journos.
Yes.
Shouldn't even call themselves journos.
The and ad lickers.
I had an update on a previous 33 story, mm-hmm. so I just wanted to throw it in here so we're all keeping tabs on things.
Yeah.
The Irish man who claimed his deceased parents' pension for 33 years did finally get a sentencing to 3.5 years in jail.
Oh, well.
Not bad for 33 years of having it made.
Could have been worse, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, I think it could have been way worse.
It almost seems worth it, actually.
I don't know about that. But
unless he had to also give the money back, then no.
Oh, no, he gambled it all away.
Oh, yeah, that's
right.
That
was the last update to the story.
Not worth it. Or unless he gambled it all away.
In finger quotes.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, the world may never know.
The world may never know. You know what I do know, though? Not to throw things off track, but Cotton Gin just sent the boost, and the B is the Bitcoin B, and the S is the dollar sign. Look at that.
Oh.
That's so pretty. 5,000 sats. Thank you, sir.
Thank
Cotton
you,
Gin.
Cotton Gin.
I did miss a shit stain that I forgot.
Oh, please.
Fountain. We actually have a couple of noteworthy news items from Fountain.
You were reminded several times by the boosts.
C-Dubs was screaming it from the mountaintops, but I did get a message earlier today on Twitter from Fountain, and they informed me that Bowl After Bowl is number 14 in the SAT-supported charts over at Fountain. So thank you so much, Bowlers, for that. We're 14th on the list, and heck, after tonight, maybe we even bumped up a couple of stairs on that list as well. I'm hoping that's the case, because we got some great support tonight, so... thank you, and thank you to Fountain. And Fountain just released a new blog that you turned me on to.
Yes, because I decided to look up I wanted to look up who the other highest earning SAT podcasts were over on the Fountain app. And instead I found this blog post titled Top 10 Eclectic Podcasts.
Eclectic. I like that.
I love that word.
And
of course, first on the list was No Agenda.
Nice.
Second on the list with Bowl After Bowl.
Hot damn.
I about peed my pants.
How do you like them apples, man?
Smoking a bowl, sir.
That's right.
Bowl After Bowl.
Bowlafterbowl.com.
And right before the show, I sent it over to Abel Kirby because Stay Well by Abel and the Wolf is also mentioned in these top 10.
Yeah, they're number 5 on the list there if you're going from top to bottom. Did a bowler write this? No. Oh, well.
I don't know.
Actually... A bowler very well may have written this. I would assume so. You made me think. Survival podcast running out the top 10 there, so they're 10th there. Fantastic. Also, Mere Mortals by our buddy Kyron Down and his partner Juan Granados. Mere Mortals, a great show. That one I also recognized. Might as well just mention the rest of them since we're mentioning them. The Intergalactic Boombox, of course, we've heard about. That's Kyle Hebert. He's the voice actor, the very talented voice actor, who's done such shows as Dragon Ball Z, also Street Fighter and Tekken voice actor. We also have Brett Weinstein's Dark Horse podcast, of course. Big time followed podcast there. The Renaissance of Men by Will Spencer. I had not heard of, but that's a strong name, and I approve of that. Will Spencer. I'm sensing a theme in this whole list, in fact. Unlimited Hangout by Whitney Webb. That has to be a cool show. I wasn't aware of that show, actually. And then Made You Think by Neil Sunny and Nat Eliason. So check that out, man. Great blog post. And
so humbled.
Holy smack, man. Holy smack. By the way, if you download Fountain, if you've never been on Fountain before, you download and listen to our podcast before March 1st, and they'll give you 1,000 sats to send around. So try it out, man. Fountain.fm. You can get hooked up. Crazy awesome stuff going on.
Yes, one of the apps you have surely seen before by checking out newpodcastapps.com.
Correct. And this is the thing, man. We are just pushing it.
The Bowl After Bowl guys are pushing the value for value so hard.
So hard.
Pushing it so hard.
So hard.
You know what the narrative is pushing so hard?
What are they pushing?
Koofs.
Oh, koofs. I have a koof.
Oh, shit. That's the best kind of goof right there. But yeah, there were 33 new cases in Salem, India, because there's a Salem, India.
Oh, wow.
Puducherry, India. And I'm pretty sure that's how it's pronounced.
Pop your Puducherry, if you know what I'm saying.
Cattaraugus County, New York.
Wow.
I had to get a time code on your Puducherry.
Did you get it?
I'm working on it.
Okay.
Hard to read and type at the same time, but whatever.
I know those feels, baby. I know those
there
feels.
There were 33 deaths in Pakistan and Ontario, our neighbors to the north there, and also 33 hospitalizations in Ontario.
Uh-oh.
And finally, there was a story I saw this week. Just for funsies, I threw it in here. A 33-year-old Texas woman survived a heart attack.
Lucky.
No mention of... Coup for jab status.
Interesting.
But she has 5 kids and believes that her heart attack was a sign from God because of her high stress life.
Mm. Yeah, she should take it easy, man. She should take it easy.
And I want to take it easy, too. Can we go behind the curtain?
Absolutely. I thought you'd never ask.
I know. I was starting to think that, too. You know, right before we went live, NA Millennial sent me this great story. Ex-girlfriend tells Hunter Biden grand jury about lavish spending. And so I see the headline, I'm like, haha, lavish spending. But the takeaway was that her username online is weedslut420.
Heyo!
Heyo, indeed. Now that I've said Biden, the Dusty Man signed legislation passed by Congress this past week, which extends the classification of fentanyl-related substances under Schedule 1 until March 11th.
Hooray.
Yep. You know, that's been in effect for 3 years, even though it's like temporary emergency criminalization policy.
Yeah, that's the beauty about these temporary laws. They seem to last for a long fucking time.
But you know what's incredibly interesting about this is that those past 3 years that... fentanyl-related substances have been Schedule 1, we've seen higher overdose rates than ever before. I mean, there were more overdoses than car accidents and coof deaths combined.
Yeah, it's almost like the schedule of the drug doesn't really affect, like, how people use it and how lethal it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Weird.
And, you know, even when there's harsh penalties, it doesn't stop people from buying and selling it.
It's also almost as if the harsher the penalties makes it worse.
Mm, almost.
You'd think. I mean, the data seemed to show.
Yeah. Well, there was also, who was it? The White House Office of National Drug Control Policy Director, Rahul Gupta, also known as the Drug Czar, I think is what people have been calling him.
Yep.
They did a little preview on what the Dusty Man... administration plans to do with its $40 billion budget.
Woof.
There. And the key takeaways I noted were increasing the availability of naloxone to, of course, try and reverse overdoses.
Yep.
Standardizing overdose data collection because everyone is collecting it in different ways. I don't know. I'm anti-data collection, but I guess if it's got to happen... then maybe it can be searchable for everyone so we can actually see the severity of overdoses. Cracking down on illicit finances of organized crime involved in drug trafficking. Best of luck to you. That's something law enforcement has Hunter? Always done.
They're going after Hunter?
It's all circling back. Harm reduction services, of course. They use the term removing barriers for treatment. You know, we want the walk-in DMVs where you can get clean needles and sit down and do your drugs and test your drugs and whatever.
Yeah, that seems like a laid-back place to trip.
And then fighting stigma, you know? Like, you don't have cocaine addiction. You suffer from cocaine use disorder.
Yeah. Is that also why they keep it on the schedule? They keep these on the band schedule, you know, the Controlled Substances Act scheduling, just to lower the stigma. Got a fucking stigma for you, you sons of bitches. What a joke.
They also want to talk about making treatments easier to find. Well, you know what that means. More pharmaceutical drugs. Aw, don't take your fun street drugs. Take our drugs.
Yeah, drive-through treatment. That's what we want.
Yeah. Ugh, could you imagine getting any sort of, like, medical care at a DMV?
No.
That's exactly how I imagine these, what are they calling them?
You take a little pink number and you wait until it's called and then they give you your needle.
Yeah. And then they take, like, the nurse sits down with you and is like, so, you know, where did you get this from? Tell me in dollars, you know, if your drug dealer's phone number were the amount of money you have, how much money would you have? they're just picking up narcs there, or, you know,
yeah, no
turning
doubt.
People into, turning users into narcs. Yeah, well, whatever. They can try.
Yeah, good luck.
The first ever USDA National Hemp Report was released this past week. It was pretty cool to see. The total value of the hemp crop for 2021 was $824 million.
All cash, baby.
Grown over 54,200 acres.
Woo, that's a lot of land right there.
That's a lot of land. That's a lot of hemp.
Hemp, hooray, baby.
Now, a few episodes ago, I talked about how the DEA is trying to put 5-tryptamines as a get them listed as Schedule 1.
Mm-hmm.
And they are now facing pushback from the research community specifically. There were 600 public comments posted online when they scheduled their little notice of their what they were planning to do. And an administrative law judge, Teresa Walbaum, issued an order that is going to set some have some hearings tomorrow. There's going to be hearings because several parties submitted requests to have a legal hearing on the planned ban to demonstrate why placing those psychedelics in Schedule 1 of the Controlled Substances Act would be unnecessary and have what they call a chilling effect on science. Science!
I'm chilled from here.
Oh, I'm always chilled behind the curtain.
Hey.
Yep, so the DEA has until March 28th to submit a pre-hearing statement, and then researchers, advocates, and stakeholders that want to contest them have until April 27th. There's going to be a pre-hearing conference held virtually on May 4th. But you don't have to worry about that because I will be on top of it this whole time.
That's right.
Those dates are simply for me.
The watchful eye of Lorian. What are you going to get away with? Nothing.
I think, like, best case scenario, the judge would recommend that they don't schedule them at all. You know, they don't add these to the, you know, let's just not schedule them. But she could also say, well, you know, schedule 2, schedule 3, a lower schedule. But then I saw that the DEA is not bound by that judge's recommendation. So I guess...
What?
Wow.
So. We might not be able to stop them, but we can at least be a huge pain in their ass.
Yeah. Yeah, that much is true.
Yeah.
Kind of like everything else in life, if you think about it.
Seriously.
What true power do you have? Opting out and being a pain in their ass.
Yep. Well, in Colorado Springs, citizens are resubmitting 2 petitions to put legalizing recreational sales on the November ballot. They originally filed these a week or two early, and the city clerk's office said that they were going to trigger a special election by submitting these early, and they said, oh, no, we don't want that. We just wanted some extra time to work with the city to make sure, you know, the language and everything is perfect so that we can gather signatures and get this on the ballot. So they did get some suggestions from the city clerk, and they incorporated those into these new petition versions and submitted them last Thursday. And now they got to start collecting signatures. They need 31,000 signatures. They have 2 options for taxation, a 5% city tax to fund the cost of licensing and regulating new shops, as well as sending some to veterans, mental health programs, and public safety. Or the second option would be to allow city council to ask residents to place a city-specific tax on the recreational weed sold, no greater than 5%, at a later time for the same purposes.
Mm.
So I guess Colorado Springs didn't want sales because they were concerned about hurting the town's chance of retaining U.S. Space Command.
Ah, well.
But look at all the tax money they're losing out on.
Sea Springs is like a heavily evangelical Christian kind of hub.
Yeah, I did not know that.
Big time, yep. Yeah, that's where like James Dobson and Focus on the Family were run out of.
Yeah.
As in the organization was run out of that town, not that they were run out of the town.
I bet you can still buy alcohol there, if I could had to take a guess. I would also say I think alcohol's probably ruined more families than weed, but what do I know? I do know that in Connecticut, medical patients can now buy 3.5 ounces of weed a month, which is up from 3.
Oh, hot damn. You know what that is.
I do.
It's a step in the right direction after all.
After all, it's a step in the right direction. It's a step in the right direction after all.
Now, they're limited to 2.5 ounces per transaction. So if you have to drive really far to get to your dispensary, sorry, you can't just buy your month's supply in one go. You're going to have to come back for that last ounce. So silly. Not that you have to drive far in Connecticut, do you? I mean, it's a pretty small state.
Yeah.
Forefront Ventures Corporation is being sued by a former employee who claims that the company's time clocks, which used workers' fingerprints, required biometric data in violation of Illinois law.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. We'll see what comes of that.
We had a thumbprint time clock when I worked at the roastery.
Oh, really?
Yep.
I've never.
Little ADP thumb login.
Wow.
Yep.
Now, I've used ADP as a time clock, but it was, you know, log in with a password and username. Click here to be here. And you could do like 7 minutes early, 7 minutes late.
Yeah.
Add some weird cushy thing. Oh, you know how I feel about the fingerprint stuff. Yeah. Mm-mm. Retinal scan. Mm-mm.
If you use the tip of your penis, that's good for privacy.
Yeah.
For privacy concerns, I tend to use the tip of my penis.
And probably a unique identifier.
That's right. No one's tip is quite like this one.
In Maine, the Attorney General is investigating whether or not the town of Kittery's cannabis license lottery constituted illegal gambling.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so in October, the town held a drawing using numbered ping pong balls in a rolling cage to select applicants for one of 3 adult use licenses, which were, of course, split into separate geographic zones. And so people had to pay to be entered in just to submit an application.
Jeez.
How does that make sense? Like, the way I've heard of it working everywhere else is you fill out an application and you pay the state some money and you hand in your application. But here they're like, pay to play. You might get picked for a chance to submit an application to maybe get a license.
Nice.
Yeah. And it was $750 to get a ping pong ball.
Oh, man.
And they pulled in $535,000. That
Good
night.
God, that's a...
All cash, baby.
That's a run at it, man.
It is.
It reminds me of that scene in Jingle All the Way where they're all grabbing those balls in the mall trying to get the Table Man lottery.
Yeah, and then that little girl puts it in her mouth and she's like, give me the ball. And then the mom starts hitting him with her purse. Mm-hmm. Don't touch my child. Oh, and they're in the ball pit, too. Remember ball pits? Yeah, I remember. Yeah, well,
found some fake fingernails in the bottom of some ball pits.
That sounds like the scariest thing that would have been encountered in a ball pit.
Yeah,
I just remember trash being nasty. In my ball pit. Yeah. Anyways, 2 men who won 2 of the bids submitted over half of those 705 entries. And the third guy already owns a medical dispensary.
Huh.
What do you know?
How about that?
So, you know, Kittery, they're... town attorney says that they don't believe it was an illegal gambling operation because it didn't technically guarantee a prize since winners could still see their applications rejected. But
sure.
You put the ping pong balls in the rolling cage, and I'm sorry, but that just sounds like gambling.
It's a game of skill, okay? It's a game of skill.
And oh, yeah. Yeah. Sounds like a game of luck to me. Oregon is... proud of themselves because they worked through a backlog of 500 marijuana licensee cases.
Whoa.
Yeah, and there's only 40 charges that came up. So that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty good.
Clearing the backlogs.
That's right. And I also wonder, like, how stringent they are on all these violations that they're citing and stuff. You know, because it could just be, like, not having cameras in the right places, not having a security guard 24/7. And it seems like they're updating the industry requirements all the time in these legal states, full rec legal states. Yeah. You know, they're just constantly updating it. So if you aren't on top of things in your area as an owner, dispensary owner, then wham bam, you get slammed with a little citation. Hey, you've been cited. And so they did say that they gave quite a few warnings to folks who had exemplary track records and were able to correct their violations. But I saw that some farms, Wicked Flower Farms and Wicked Flower Shop, were asked to surrender their licenses, and a group called Southern Oregon Cannabis Connection has the choice to either pay a $4,000 fine or serve a 16-day producer license suspension for two violations. Depending on how much they make a day, that $4,000 fine doesn't sound too bad.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, there was a long feature piece in a Pennsylvania publication that came out this week, and it was an eye roller. It was a media investigation which concluded that medical weed companies, mostly named here, were the people who help you get a license, a medical license, to be a patient or caregiver.
Yeah.
This media investigation, as they've self-labeled, says that those companies make inaccurate, misleading, and possibly dangerous claims about weed.
Oh, dangerous.
Now, dangerous and weed, to me, don't go in the same sentence unless we're talking about prohibition.
Guess what?
And neither, the drug war.
Neither do dangerous and claims.
That's true.
Hello.
Yeah.
Somebody said something. Oh, no.
What were they so mad about? You may be wondering. Well, because these sites are suggesting that weed can be a viable substitute for buprenorphine, which is one of three FDA-approved drugs to treat opioid use disorder.
Getting high?
Yes. Now, in the community and in the bowl, weed is a very well-known exit drug.
That's right.
We call it an exit drug because it can help you stop taking other things or doing other things, you know? It can right. help you leave bad habits.
It's the opposite of this gateway theory of, like, weed leads to other stuff.
It can lead to other drugs.
Actually can lead you away from other drugs, which is nice. It's much healthier, has the largest therapeutic window, one of the largest therapeutic windows known to man, and is much safer than all the harder bullshit that's out there. So, yeah.
And basically this journalist goes on and on, getting quotes from medical professionals saying that there's no research to back up the claims, you know? And they were like, oh, an anecdote doesn't count.
Well, there's no research to back up those claims that the claims are bunk. Kiss my balls. Two can play at that game.
Well, and I also am just rolling my eyes reading all these medical professionals saying, who are you getting paid by?
Right.
The people that make the FDA-approved drugs. So, of course, when there's an alternative, you're going to say, oh, no. Don't look that way. That's dangerous. You don't want to use that. You want to pay me, right? You want to keep me in business.
I do.
So, you know, they talked about how, and this was interesting because, of course, there's research to back up those three FDA-approved drugs. And those numbers show that people with opioid use disorder who use them long-term being the key here, are 50% less likely to die. I'm like, that's a flip of a coin. That's not great probability.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's no research with cannabis directly being taken by opioid users or abusers. Like, it's federally illegal. Research has been just nipped here in America. And there's plenty of studies in Israel.
Yep, lots of them.
But, you know, opioid use disorder is one of the qualifiers for getting a medical card in Pennsylvania.
Right.
And now they're trying to add a little asterisk and say, if you have tried the FDA-approved measures first.
Of course.
I'm trying to remember the third one. It's that buprenorphine, methadone, and I can't think of that third one. But anyways,
Why do you think they call it dope?
Weed definitely reduces pain, seizures, anxiety, withdrawal symptoms in general, muscle spasms. It can help stop vomiting. It can increase your appetite if you need to eat. If you're dope sick, you know?
Yep.
You need some energy. It can help you sleep. And there was one great quote in there. They reached out to a physician, a board-certified physician in family practice and emergency medicine, who said, his name's Bradford Bugey. He said, "My patient's input is and always will be valued more above all else. Don't contact me again with your pharmaceutical bullshit."
Yeah.
And I loved that. I was like, man, if I lived in the area, I would be finding that guy and making him my doctor.
Not if you were stoned at the time.
My primary care. It's just less invasive and way safer than any pharmaceutical drug will ever be. It's a weed. It's a plant.
That's right.
And of course, they threw in there, the 2019 National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine said buprenorphine is safe and highly effective.
Oh,
those are the magical key words, don't
if
you
it's
know?
Safe and effective, then I want it in every hole. Please, stuff me full of it.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It just makes me sick that trying to make yourself happy and healthy in your own way is a revolutionary act that they don't want us to do. They would rather see us die. They'd rather, you know, they just want us to be dependent on the system and what they're peddling, even if it's bad for you, even if it makes you suffer, because that's good for them. That will make you find more products to purchase and consume by them. Don't want you leaving the system. No, no, no.
No, no.
So.
No, no. No, oh, well. No.
And just to round it out, of course, I pay special attention to South Dakota. And the Flandreau Santee Sioux Tribe says that more than 100 people who were issued medical cards were arrested.
Oh, geez.
And the tribe operates the only medical dispensary in the state so far and has issued 8,000 medical cards since they opened in July. The Department of Public Safety and Attorney General's Office have taken the position that the cards are not valid for people who aren't tribal members, but the tribe is defending cardholders in court if they choose to fight their charges. Does the state have authority to revoke a license issued by another jurisdiction? Don't know. We'll find out in court, I guess.
And, you know, I mean,
the tribal medical program should be operating independently of the state.
It absolutely should. But you also went out, got a medical card, you gave your information, you signed on the line, and
this is what you wanted.
That's what you get.
And that's what you get, yep. Played stupid games, win stupid prizes.
For some pot that's easily findable around, if you just look around, you can find it.
Yeah. Well, Governor Kristi Noem of South Dakota signed some medical weed reform bills this week into law. The first repeals provisions permitting certain documents to serve as temporary registry cards for medical weed. So you just got to wait till you get your card and then you're good to go. One of them was just a timeout. It said like 25 days after applications are available by the department. So it just was a natural occurrence. Another bill revised rulemaking authority related to medical weed. That's the Department of Health. And yeah, they're in control of everything, including all the, safety related from like seed to sale tracking and security guards and all that crap.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to worry about it. Another bill revised provisions related to medical weed data maintained by the Department of Health. Because just as you said, you sign up, you end up in the database. And finally, the fourth bill to round it out, and this is interesting, includes out-of-state convictions as a basis of an enhanced penalty for certain drug crimes. Oh, you got charged with something in another state? We're going to use that against you.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. That's all I got. That's all the weed news for tonight.
Wow, how about that? In other news, it wouldn't quite be a magical row of 2022 without a little bit of a metal moment.
Woo! Metal moment!
From our good friend, our Reverend Cyber Trucker, trucking around this beautiful country of ours. And even though he's just as busy as we are, he still finds time to pull over and get that metal moment recorded. Here he is.
In the bowl and in the morning. This here is the Reverend Cybertrucker and Kenny with this week's Metal Moment.
While most metalheads are familiar with the Mongolian rock group The Who, not everybody is familiar with Tengger Cavalry. And our stop-off in Mongolia includes their song, Lone Wolf, released in 2019.
Nothing like a little metal moment to get you back and jerked into the action.
That song needs to go on the Wolf Jams playlist.
I was thinking the same thing, actually. The same thing I was thinking. Oh, man. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Reverend Cybertrucker. And you can vote on the next theme, I believe. There's usually a poll, although once it gets toward the end of the month, sometimes it's what's left. But regardless, to find out, follow the Reverend. The good dear Reverend on No Agenda Social. That's from any federated instance you can follow at RevCyberTrucker at NoAgendaSocial.com. That's where he lives. That's where he's at. He lives on the road, but he toots from there. You can get a whiff of the toots over at No Agenda Social or any federated service that's hooked up. So you got to check it out. Try it out. Speaking of checking it out and trying it out, hey, you can check out and try out our voicemail line. Every week we do a first time I ever topic, first time I ever did a dang thing. Of course, this one we're talking about the first time I ever went to a No Agenda meetup, because it's kind of been the theme. They're happening all the time. Probably one near you. You just don't know because you haven't looked it up yet at noagendameetups.com. But to get your shout out in, all you got to do is call 816-607-3663, just like this bowler did.
So, the FDI for this week is apparently the first time I ever attended a meetup. Well, I've only been to one meetup, although I have met several NA producers, not limited to being personally friends with Reverend Cybertrucker.
Nice.
Shout out to the Rev in the Metal Moment.
Shouts out.
I do love him. And so the first time I ever went to a meetup, and like I said, it's the only one I've ever been to, was in Knoxville. At Schlutzbrau Brewery, and I don't even remember who all attended it. I know we have a Black Knight in Knoxville, and he's got a couple of friends that are knights, and, you know, there's this whole big, you know, Knoxville has a fantastic community, let me just put it out there. And I did get a chance, I think it was Dame Sarah who was traveling with her little girl, and she hit our meetup in Knoxville, so I was very blessed to have met her. Pretty sure we knew who the spook was. He all but, like, outed himself at that meetup.
Ruh-roh.
But a great goddamn time was had by all, and
oh, yeah.
I will definitely attend another meetup, and hopefully, sooner than later, I'll have a chance to meet some more NA producers and maybe even some Bowl After Bowl people.
Oh,
who knows?
Yeah.
It could happen.
Definitely.
Anything could happen. Life is a blank canvas right now, and I'm enjoying painting with my watercolors. So, yeah, in the bowl, y'all. Smoke them if you got them. Phoenix out.
They had a great goddamn time.
Beautiful.
In the bowl, Phoenix.
Beautiful timing on it, man. You lined it right up right after the metal moment and everything. Shoe Squirrel Brewery is what it spit out. Knoxville, that's where our boy Sir Mittens is at. So I bet you met Mittens there, too. We met Mitties.
Mr. Mittens.
Mittens, actually, I didn't say I was, because I didn't want to dox him. I was like, MM. But of course, I should have known that donation last week was from Sir Mittens, and we did get him credited.
Yeah, in the show notes.
In the show notes. So I just wanted to say that out loud in case people only listen and don't read, because I know that there's probably bowlers out there like that. So yeah, that was Mittens. And on the phone, that was Phoenix. Thank you, Phoenix. We love you.
We have a make good first time I ever from last week also that you missed.
Oh, yes, that's true. And I'll have to dig into the archives to find that.
Okay.
Thank you for reminding me. In the meantime, though, this next caller is going to tell us all about their first time.
Hey, bowlers. So I've only attended one No Agenda meetup, and I actually did it in Israel. With Sir Brian of London and a couple of folks, Guy Boazzi, trying to remember who the other person was that was there. It's kind of cool, actually, and cool to do it in a foreign country. It's one of my many trips I have made to Israel over the last the last decade or more. Unfortunately, no trips to Israel right now because COVID 1984 and all of that. It's funny because there's been meetups around the Seattle area and I haven't been able to go. Now that I'm basically going through a divorce and got nothing, I've got nothing that's really keeping me home and I'm actually on the other side of the bridge now, I can, there's a meetup in Tacoma that I'm planning to go to here and that I found out on.
I've been hearing about that one.
Last No Agenda episode.
Should be lit.
But I think it's going to be, a week from Friday, I think. So hoping to meet some folks there. And I've also met people outside of No Agenda listeners outside of the confines of a meetup. I've actually had lunch with Sir Brian of London separately from a meetup. And I've also met Sir Baron Phenom, I can't actually say it, up in Appleton, Wisconsin when I was doing an event up there a few years back. So I'm always looking to meet in person, No Agenda listeners. This is, it's always good to be around like-minded people and propagate the formula and all that. So, I suppose I could play clips or something, but I'm kind of.
Fact check, Paul.
Yeah, I guess I am playing clips, but that just goes without saying. But that's how it goes here in the, where things are at right now. And hopefully, I am.
It's a step in the right direction after all.
Oh, yeah.
Love you, mean it.
Oh, we love you, phone boy.
Yes, we love you, phone boy.
Yeah, that Tacoma meetup is going to be lit.
Yeah, I think I saw Sharky Shark. Wanting to go to that or planning to go to that. He was discussing it in the bowl the other day. Discussing the Tacoma meetup in the bowl the other day. Thank you for that programming note. I did miss the last week. Our friend Chris from Connecticut sent us in some feedback, a voicemail, if you will. And podcasters, I love this about podcasters, is they'll pick up their cell phone and call the Google Voice, and then they'll listen back to their voicemail, and they'll go, God, I hate it. I don't sound good because they're not talking into their mics and they don't have their equipment and their setup. So, if you have a mic and a nice setup, a trick that you can use is to, if you, run your stuff through a computer, you can call through Google Voice and get a pretty close replica of your sound through that. Or you can just record yourself a WAV file or an MP3 and you can email it to me, Spencer@bowlafterbowl.com. That's what Chris in Connecticut did.
Hello, Dame DeLorean and Sir Spencer. This is Chris from Connecticut joining you in the bowl to share my first falling in love with a movie experience.
Oh, yeah.
And this is very relative, unfortunately, due to the recent death of the director of said movie. In 1984, a small little movie that, disappeared off of the historical, record was brought into existence, clearly not a major motion picture of that year. And unfortunately, I was 1 year old at the time of its release. Mm. So it wasn't until probably 1986 or 87 when said movie was aired on networks such as HBO and or VHS that I finally was able to see and immediately fall in love with this movie. Now, I was being a little bit sarcastic earlier about it not making a blip on the historical radar because the movie, in fact, that I'm talking about is Ghostbusters. And if you know anything about me, if you've seen me out there on the Fediverse, then you know I have more than a slight obsession with this film. So it was very saddening to see within the past 48 hours that the director of that movie, Ivan Reitman, passed peacefully in his sleep. And is currently being mourned by the larger film community. Of course, Ivan Reitman also directed Stripes and several other comedies of the late 70s, early 80s era, and was very unique in his approach to that, which is why many of his movies are so loved and enjoyed. So, Ghostbusters is my thing, and I've always just had a special place in my heart for those four guys that go out and are just everyday working Joes trying to catch ghosts and store them and save the world, even though that never was really what they intended to do. They just wanted to make money. Anyway, I want to thank you for giving me the time to share this with you in the bowl, and we'll catch you next time. Take care.
Absolutely. Thanks. Chris from Connecticut.
Yeah, in the bowl, Chris.
And rest in peace, definitely. I had not heard that.
A classic.
Classic. Yeah, Chris definitely ain't afraid of no ghosts. You can catch him on the socials there. And he is. He's into the Ghostbusters, man. Bustin' makes him feel good, let's say. you remember the first time you ever went to a No Agenda meetup, I suppose?
I do, because you already talked about it. We listened and listened to a bunch of No Agendas, always hoping that Kansas City or Columbia or somewhere in Missouri that we could drive to would pop up, and nothing ever did. And so you said, I'm thinking about putting together a No Agenda meetup. And I said, I think that's a great idea. And we did. And it was up at the Bridge, is it? A little bar with a coffee shop.
Yep. That's so my friends run in North KC.
Yes, North KC, and it was a January, I think it was, what, like 2021 or 2020? It was before the whole coup thing.
You mentioned that? I'm not 100% sure. I don't believe it's called The Bridge now that I'm thinking about it, but I'll have to look it up.
The Rhino.
Rhino. Rhino. Sorry. Is it? Rhino.
Yeah, the Rhino.
R-I-N-O
Rhino. It just popped in my head.
R-I-N-O Rhino in North KC. Thank you. That would have really bummed me out if I couldn't remember it.
Yeah, cute little music venue and great space. It's just so comfortable. You can sit, you can stand, there's music, and walk around. You can get coffee drinks, you can get boozy drinks.
And you can hang out with great people. And
there's food, too, you could get.
On the very first meetup, someone drove all the way from Springfield to be there.
That's right, it was Brinkomania.
That's right. And
we met Door Dude and his smoking hot wife.
We haven't had one, except for the two dog park fails, we haven't had a No Agenda meetup that didn't have at least somebody driving 3 hours or more.
Wow, that's true.
To Kansas City. And the two dog park fails were both at the height of lockdown nonsense. Like, the second dog park fail, in fact, they had the chain shut, so you couldn't even get into the dog park.
Right, they locked the dog park.
Which was the last bastion of freedom. The only reason that we had it in the dog park the first time, even though nobody showed up, was because you could still go there. Everything else was, like, closed. It was a ghost town. Crazy. That was crazy. This is one of the dumbest things we've ever lived through, in fact.
Yeah. But we've been doing the Kansas City meetups regularly ever since because we had such a fun time.
Yeah,
it's like a
absolutely.
Party. And, you know, some of the folks that showed up at the first one became regulars.
Yeah.
We get to see time and time again, which is awesome. Like Matt.
That's right. C-Mike, of course. Regular.
Yes, but I don't think he was at that first one.
Oh, that's true. I'm trying to think of the very first one.
It's so long ago. And it was a January.
It's like 2 years ago.
It's like all I can tell you is it was snowy and it was January.
Yep. Yeah. Well, this next caller called again from the last call.
The wonderful wait. How could it be? A fresh new start for you and me. Dreams coming true. How is this my life? First a friend and then a wife. Magic numbers everywhere. The universe doth speak. The weeks are 10, the future bright. I am your dame, you are my knight.
Nice.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love that.
Dropping poems in the bowl. Phoenix.
The princess.
Princess Phoenix, no doubt. This next caller kept it short and sweet, I think, by judging by the time code.
I'm still in bed, and I don't have my pants. Freedom!
Okay. He just got in bed? He definitely doesn't have his pants. Free the... I'm going to have to hear it again.
I think it was freedom.
Freedom, maybe? I want to hear it one more time. What do you think?
Yeah, please.
Let me hear it. Let me get the levels just a little bit higher here. Let me get them hot.
I'm still in bed, and I don't have my pants. Freedom!
Yeah, he just got in bed, doesn't have his pants. Freedom!
Yeah.
All right.
Fuck pants.
Freedom. Freedom. And I know he's calling from somewhere in the state. Missouri Smash! Missouri Smash. Thank you, sir. And, yeah, forget those pants. Forget those pants. It's so cold today. The only reason I have pants.
It's toasty warm in the bowl, though.
That's true.
The clothing optional bowl.
Oh.
Always comfortable here.
Pants off. That does it.
That's right. Pants off, dance off.
There we go. But this next caller's not wearing any pants either.
I almost forgot to call in. Messing with my phone. Trying to get Fountain set up.
How dare you? Oh, well, Fountain, that's a good reason.
I don't know. Stuff looks like it's, I don't know. Just made, I'm giving it time, letting it simmer a little.
Yeah.
Anyway, first meetup I ever went to was at a Chick-fil-A.
Nice.
It's inside a ritzy mall close to my work. They always had the meetups were always far away from me on the other side of Detroit. And it would have been like 2 hour drives home and stuff like that. And they're during the week, when I'm working and just couldn't swing it. But that one I did, I met up with, everybody there, had some, chicken sandwiches and, then coof. it's like a week or two later, I think, actually, right after first meetup that I went to. Been to about a dozen since, half dozen, sorry. Maybe a little bit more. Actually, the Tennessee meetup was the third meetup that I've been to at a roller skating rink. So
how about that, man?
Not a lot of people can say that.
I remember you telling me that. That's wild.
Two of them were a privately owned family skating rink. It's whatever. But then the one with you guys. So it's pretty awesome. In the bowl.
Yeah, that was fun. I'm going to be riding that Tennessee high for a while, man.
For a while.
This next caller is riding some kind of meetup high, I'm sure.
Hey, what's up? This is Brinkomania.
Yeah!
I just been...
I think you're going to cut out?
First meetup. I went up to Kansas City, and it was crazy. I met DeLorean and Spencer, went all the way from Springfield to Kansas City, and now we have meetups down here now. It's pretty cool. Missouri's a big state. One time we had like three Missouri meetups at one day. That was pretty nice. Next time we do that, we need to like stagger them to where we can like do all three or just combine them. Anyway, you guys are awesome. Bye.
Oh, you're awesome, Brink.
Yeah.
The Brinkster.
That's right.
Well, there's a pew from Ned. 10,420 sets.
Missouri needs to have a state conference, or a state conference, I say, but a no agenda convention.
Like a national no agenda convention. I think Kansas City would be a great location for a national one, but really anywhere in Missouri would work.
Because
it's so centrally located. But Kansas City in particular, easy airport to get in and out of, lodging is reasonable. We could probably even find people to put people up to a certain extent anyway. But that meetup was awesome. Brinkomania, thanks for giving us a ring, man. And that's so cool. He was like, I remember that first meetup. He was kind of like, so how do you do this? And I'm interested in getting the Springfield thing going.
Yeah. I think Brinkomania was also the first person there.
He was. He beat us.
Yeah.
Which was awesome. It was like, already had friends right when we showed up. And yeah, we were like, man, it's easy. Just go to this website, noagendameetups.com, and just plug in when and where. And then everybody shows up, man. You get the little emails for people RSVPing. It's easy to do. If you haven't done it, you're missing out. And it's not just you missing out, mind you, because there's other people just like you waiting for something to happen. But the trick is that you could make it happen. Everybody's waiting. But as long as everybody's waiting, they're going to keep waiting. C-Dubs makes a good point of more people show up than RSVP, which I think is true. And there's a lot of people in our community that are like weird about an email sign up at all. So they're like, I don't want to do that. Which I get it. I get it. It's probably smarter. For me, it's way too late for that type of shit. I'm very much out there. But I get it. Other people have managed to live a life of relative privacy and anonymity. And, you can still show up to a meetup because time and location is posted. So you just kind of go there at that time to that place. But boom. C-Dubs also says you can use simplelogin.co, which is another suggestion. Ooh, we got a follow-up.
Oh my God, that is amazing!
So what is it with my podcasting partner in crime dropping poetry in the bowl?
Oh, yeah.
Gotta say, I'm quite impressed. And it's amazing. So, you know, you could, of course, hear more of that listening to our little podcast that could called The Lotus Podcast. You know,
with that's the one.
With Phoenix. And yeah, it's, as I say, it's been. yeah, anyway, I'm just, yeah, it's, yeah, I'd say the poetry. It's something else. Yeah, yeah. In the bowl, y'all.
Guy got all riled up, man.
In the bowl again, phone boy.
Phone boy, riled up by the poetry. Yeah, you know it. You know it. She's a poet and you already know it. I don't know this next caller, or maybe I do.
As someone who's sexually attracted to pants, I agree with your statement of fuck pants, but for a different reason.
Hey-o! This guy fucks. Pants.
This is a pant fucker in the bowl.
I'm going to call this next guy a pants fucker. Thank you, caller.
Thank you, pants fucker.
Thanks, pants fucker. Go fuck your pants. Oh, man.
Oh, what is the next first time I ever going to be?
That is a great, great voicemail to end it on. What is the next F-tie? Look at, I have all these pieces of yellow paper around, and actually, I can tell you without even looking at them that none of them are the F-tie, I think. Pretty sure, because I looked earlier and I couldn't see them.
Just use your brain.
Look, I did find this doodle that I did like a year and a half ago.
Oh,
whatever.
The Gen X dude.
The fat Gen X guy crying or whatever. Very stupid doodle I did once, but yeah. Just doing my part to keep the dumbass meaningless generational war alive and well. what is it? What's it going to be? First time I ever... something about a pants. It's got to be something about pants. Maybe not fucked pants.
Ripped my pants.
First time I ever took off my pants in public.
In
first time I ever took off my pants in public. What about that?
Okay.
Why? You don't think that, you don't think a lot of people did that?
I don't think a lot of bowlers have taken their pants off in public, but I might be underestimating them. I hope that.
Oh, I mean, even if you got, I mean, people have been to the pool.
The pool, yeah, okay.
First time I ever peed my pants. We did a pooped one that was quite popular, yeah. Actually. but I think it's been too soon to do the peed already.
Yeah.
It was quite, I think first time I ever took off my pants in public.
I like it.
That will be the F-tie for next week. And we do have one sliding in at the last minute. Oh my goodness, this is real time.
Oh. Apparently, my podcast partner in crime got completely tongue-tied when paying me a compliment about the fact that I, kicking it in the poetry department.
He was fucking pants
easy
over there,
it. There, phone boy. You might want to get, you know, get that under control there, my, podcast partner in crime. We got to be on point for our next show, and, we don't want to get you all flustered and stuff there. In the bowl, y'all.
In the bowl!
Princess Phoenix also has a beautiful singing voice.
No doubt. No doubt. Ringing and singing. Spitting poetry. All kinds of stuff. Man, we got some talent in the bowl. That cannot be denied. And yeah, next time you can call in with the first time you ever took off your pants in public. That'll be a really great one. And yeah, I mean, I don't know you, bro. Make it up. I won't be mad. That leaves us one thing to do, of course.
Ah, fuck it, dude. Let's go bold.
Well, 33-year-old Florida woman. Who else would you expect?
Sounds great.
Used $15,000 worth of the PPP pandemic relief funds, you know, for her one-person hairdressing business.
Oof.
That she got. She used that $15,000 she got to hire a hit on a TSA agent who she says stole her boyfriend.
Wow.
Now, this TSA agent was a 24-year-old woman who was gunned down and killed in front of her home and in front of her 3-year-old child, very sadly.
Jesus.
And they had a long-standing feud going back and forth because the agent had previously testified against her boyfriend, the man in question here, for a robbery case. And he ended up going to jail for assaulting the agent in the courthouse parking lot.
Oh, my God.
And so when this woman says, you stole my boyfriend, what she means is, you put him behind bars.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And this lady, you know, she got picked up because she called the man on the jail phone and said she was ready to go kill that hoe.
Oops.
And then she has over 100 text messages between her and the two men who did it in broad daylight. And they used some sports references. Lots of sports terms going back and forth to negotiate the price. Lots of jersey numbers, you know?
I see.
So, yeah, she also, this 33-year-old Florida woman, had charges dropped against her for assaulting the TSA agent before, and then was arrested for assaulting her in 2018.
Wow, that's a lot going on. Florida is such a lovely place.
Very dramatic. This is a lot of drama. This is some, like, reality TV special. But, you know, putting that PPP money to work. Anyways, there was an unruly passenger that put some American Airlines flight attendants to work this week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, a flight from L.A. to D.C. had to divert where? At KCI here in Kansas City.
Of course, yeah.
And,
Hold on, I got a,
Oh, yeah.
Gotta get the smash in.
So this passenger kept interfering with the flight crew, saying that there were people on the plane trying to hurt him that had followed him there. He heard them on the phone hurting his family.
Oh, no.
Just going into a complete freak out. He said the person sitting next to him was one of them, that they had a knife. They kept showing it to him. So the flight crew said, hey, this is all right. Sit up here. Sit up here. They saw that he had tried to call 911 mid-flight. Obviously, that didn't work. He asked for water, and they went to get it, but he got up and started walking towards the cockpit.
Oh, God.
And started saying, hey, you guys are lying to me. You guys are lying to me. And no one's flying the plane. There's no one flying the plane. Just freaking out. So the flight attendant put a cart between themselves and the man, and that's when he grabbed some silverware, which I believe is plastic on a plane. But he slid it up his sleeve and held it like a shank. And, you know, started being really threatening.
Tough guy.
He grabbed a champagne bottle and tried to break it, you know, tried to break the neck off.
Oh, no.
And that didn't work.
Here's where you get the roll.
Yeah. So then he went for the exit door. You know, he was trying to open the exit door. So a flight attendant grabbed a coffee pot and hit him over the head twice. And several passengers came forward to help. As this, I mean, you would assume, hopefully, someone will help if it's just this one attendant who was so scared they put a food cart between them and the man. One of the attendants, or one of the passengers that came forward to assist was a cop. So it did make me start wondering about the guy's story and, what was going on? Yeah, the FBI is investigating it now, so, of course it'll. All the details will be laid out, and we'll know the exact story.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
The whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Kind of like what they told the media and what I've, you know, gleaned from this.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's the whole truth and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, we're getting the full story, definitely.
Well, this guy's got the full story and a full wallet, because he just sold one of the largest gem-quality opals in existence at an auction in Alaska for $143,000.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's 11,800 carats. And it's got a nickname, Americus Australis.
Oh.
Yes. The owner was Fred Von Brandt, who said he'd just been keeping it in a linen closet for years and years. But he actually mines for gold and has a family who's deeply rooted in the gem and mineral business. So the opal was larger than a brick.
Whoa.
But it had been broken into two pieces, which Fred said was a practice they used to use decades ago to prove the quality of the gemstone. And it was passed down to him by his grandfather, who bought it in the 1950s from an Australian opal dealer named John Altman. From the 50s to the 80s, the family exhibited the stone for other people to enjoy, and then ultimately kept it in their family store. When the auction company started doing all the fact-checking on where the stone came from and the hands it passed through, they got a hold of John Altman's granddaughter, and she was able to look up the logs and verify that he had sold it in America to the Von Brandt family. And he had discovered this opal in the same field as the biggest gem quality opal that we know of.
Wow.
Weighing in at 17,000 carats, named Olympic Australis, which is on permanent display at the Altman shop in Australia. So, yep, that sold for almost $144,000 this past weekend, along with a smaller piece that the grandfather, Von Brandt, had cut off. And it looks kind of like a teardrop shape. And he was planning to, you know, wear it or display it somehow.
Mm.
So.
Man, that's awesome.
Yeah. I love opals. Of course, opal's my birthstone, so.
They're gorgeous. They're precious.
And you know what else is gorgeous and precious?
Little, what's that?
Little babies.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
But there was a fear-mongering article that came out this week for parents of babies. Because a Missouri mom took her five-month-old to the ER with what is scientifically known as hair tourniquet syndrome.
Oh my goodness.
Now, this is, of course, when a piece of hair wraps around a baby's finger, toe, or genitals and cuts off the circulation.
Finger, toe, hopefully, right?
In this case, it was the toe.
Okay, thank God.
But they did mention genitals as being in previous cases, and that was not cool in my book.
I think we've all been there, right? Where you get a piece of hair wrapped too tight around your finger or whatever, and you're like, ow, damn, and then you get it off?
Yeah, and you pull it off because you are a functioning human.
You're not a dumb baby.
That's right. But I will say, out of the three wolf cubs, the newest one is the most likely to have hair wrapped around his dang fingers.
Yeah.
Boy, he just loves to grab my hair and just rip it out and then just wrap it around his little finger. No, he's not trying anything. He's a baby. But yeah, so this mom, she took her son to the pediatrician at first and had no idea what was going on, just saw that his toe was turning purple. And the pediatrician didn't get the hair. So then she went to an urgent care and they said, oh, we got it taken care of. No, they didn't. His toe kept getting worse. So she had to go to the emergency room. Three places for help, you know? And two of them, she's still going to get a bill from them, you know? But they couldn't help her or her son. So anyways, they ended up in the emergency room for a freaking hair tourniquet. And you know what they did? They used some like chemical solution to dissolve it, which is the equivalency of Nair or Veet. You know, like you can buy stuff and just melt it off. But this whole time, I'm just like reading this. They said between 2004 to 2014, so in a decade, there were 81 cases of hair tourniquet syndrome.
Whoa.
So they just turned this into a huge like fear campaign.
Pretty,
you know?
Rare. Pretty damn rare.
Incredibly rare.
Rare
for
with
someone
the hair.
To end up in an emergency room.
Well, yeah.
Because this is what I'm wondering, too.
I'd say it's probably not that rare, but you look down and you see what's going on and you correct it.
You fix it. Yeah. Right. I would not take my child to a doctor for a piece of hair wrapped around his finger. I would remove the hair. And if it was really bad, I would probably try Nair or some other thing. You know, well, at first I'd get a magnifying glass
or
and tweezers.
Or tiny scissors, man. Tiny scissors, you slip it under there. I mean, come on, it's skin.
The poor pictures of this baby's toe, though. I mean, it looked really bad. She let this go on for so long
before she ended up in the ER. Yeah, that's the thing. Once it's embedded or, like, down in the skin, then that's a different story. But
yeah,
you've got to be noticing the shit before then. I'm sorry, man. You got to check your baby out, bro.
Yeah, and it took the emergency room 40 minutes to get the hair off of him. And a little baby, 5 months old, you know that was tough. You know what else is tough? Going to pick up your kid from daycare, an experience that I know nothing about, and finding that all the workers have left and your child is crying, traumatized, locked in a dark room.
Oh, jeez. No, thank you.
Yep. It happened. In Florida.
Ah, oh, Florida strikes again.
Yeah. This mom arrived at 6:28 p.m. and had to call 911 when she found her daughter locked inside and no workers to be found. So the fire department got her out in 20 minutes, but of course she says her 2-year-old is traumatized. Their daycare worker who was responsible for checking out all the children left at 6:20. So 8 minutes. And of course now a local child protection agency is investigating what went on there and why that happened. I would be so pissed off.
No doubt.
But this is, you know, again, why I'm just not doing the daycare thing.
One of those things that can't happen to us. That's right.
Yeah. Daycare was ruined by my coworkers previously, whose son was sent home with a pee-pee rash because they didn't change his pants or anything else. They didn't wipe him down or anything. And I was just like, you know what? Fuck that. You pay them money to not take care of your kid. Fuck that.
Yeah, never going to happen. I don't know. You got to just trust, like, some random strangers.
No.
No. Well, an entire lizard that they believe is 110 million years old was discovered trapped in some Burmese amber.
Whoa.
And I mean the whole lizard, like scales to skeleton. Except for the organs didn't make it.
Well, yeah, that makes sense.
But its trachea was preserved, so they can, you know, glean some interesting findings from that. Looks like a skink, but they've named it Retinosaurus hickamentiensis, a new species.
Nice.
You've unlocked a new species.
Da-na-na-na.
No more unlocking for one pro gamer.
Uh-oh.
Yep, this Japanese lady was fired by her sponsors after saying men under 5'7" don't have human rights.
Man, let's blow the fuck out.
Yeah, she's a known Tekken player, and she did issue an apology after losing her sponsorship, which was, looks like Red Bull and Alienware were the main sponsors. She said that she poorly expressed her love of tall people. But
come on. She was probably just off the cuff making jokes too, right? I mean, she was
guessing she was streaming, like gaming and playing on a stream. Yeah, talking to herself with a chat room.
People make jokes. That's funny. People under 5'7 have no human rights. Okay, that's called hyperbole. She likely doesn't just believe that to be true.
Yes, because that's fact check false.
And guess what? Even if she literally did, that's not illegal or whatever.
Yeah, but you know, this is why you gotta
take on thought crime shit.
The value for value lifestyle.
That's right.
No sponsors.
Yeah. And fuck saying sorry to these idiots.
Exactly.
Like, no. I'm not sorry for talking, for being funny, for saying something funny. I'm not sorry for saying something funny, even if it's retarded.
Or if it makes you cry.
Pews from C-Dubs. Boost me, baby, one more time. Pews from Harv Hat. More twos.
Woo!
We're getting pews still. Keeping the pews going into the night.
Well, MassDOT workers are busy into the night retrieving traffic cones that were tossed into and onto the Charles River.
Oops.
I believe it was frozen.
Yeah, it would have to be.
So they're just surveillance video shows people tossing the orange cones off the Mass Ave bridge. 100 of them.
Dude, watch this shit. This is hilarious.
Yeah, well, it is because the cones were part of a bicycle safety pilot program that launched in November. Take that, bicyclists.
Oh, snap.
No orange cones of protection for you. If you know any older people in your life who are looking for companionship, you know, maybe widowed, looking for a second chance at love, protect them, because romance fraud is real, and not just catfishing. This 78-year-old man create an account on iFlirt, which I've never heard of, but he did somehow.
Blue
and
douche,
he connected.
Get your pen and paper out. It was called what? iFlirt?
iFlirt.
I-F-L-I-R-T.
Yep. Apple style with a little I there, you know? Lowercase I. He connected with a 30-year-old widow, or so she claimed, who was from New York, or so he believed. And she told him that she had to travel to Germany to pick up an inheritance of gold bars. But then she had got arrested in Germany, and she needed money to pay bail. So he sent it to her. And then, when she got out on bail, she got arrested again a second time and needed more money. So he sent it to her again. A total of like $500,000.
Half a mil, dude.
Yeah, well, turns out this 30-year-old widow was not that. It was a pair of a woman and a man from Ghana.
Oh, God. This took a turn that I didn't expect.
Yeah, no, they were pulling the scam on a lot of people and sending millions of dollars back to Ghana.
See, I thought that the catfish would have been the old guy at the beginning.
Oh.
And then it just took a twist. It was the 30-year-old jailbird who was actually
getting
multiple persons
conned. Yeah, yeah. Multiple people. Linda Mbima. Linda Mbimadong. Mbimadong.
Okay.
And Richard Brony. These names are just like rife for jokes.
Fake story.
It's gotta be, right? But it's the Associated Press ran with it.
Well, it must be real then.
No, AP is like the 5 and the M5M. It's just central. It's where the stories come from. This is their newest one that they made up. But they were talking about how these folks are actually what they termed money mules, you know, in this whole laundering operation. They only take a cut, like 5% of this money that gets sent to them. And then, yeah, they're just sending the rest on to the person pulling the strings on the other end.
Quite common.
Who just happens to be in Ghana in this case. So, romance fraud. I guess it hit an all-time high in 2021.
Romance fraud.
Yeah. When people were just hunkering down in their homes, too scared to meet new people or whatever happened.
You know, people are lonely. Easily fooled.
We know you want kisses and hugs, but just send your cash.
Yeah, exactly.
And I guess White Castle has 100 robot fry cooks.
Oh, damn.
That they're trying out from Miso Robotics. Flippy 2, programmed to store, fry, and dispense food. If it's successful, this trial run, they're going to adopt it into every kitchen, which will, you know, cut jobs from humans, give jobs to robots. But they're 2 times faster than humans. I'd say who can blame them, but these robots cost them $3,000 a month. That's more than they're paying the humans.
Fishy.
I don't know. I don't eat White Castle anyway.
Man, I can't do it. It's nasty. I've tried a couple times, and it just makes me oogly in the tummy.
That's how all fast food is for me these
days. It's like
days.
A snart burger, dude. One of the worst. One of the worst.
It's all bad,
dude.
It's all bad and it all makes you feel bad.
Yes. Well.
But not in the bowl.
Luckily, yeah, you're in the bowl, so you're feeling good. By the way, Servo boosted 33,000 sats. He said hyperbole, more like hyperbole. Hey-o! And we had one 508. You know who that's from. That's always a Cotton Gin signature right there. Wowie zowie. Well, thanks for joining us in this new live son of a bitch. This live item thing that we're doing. It's working out really great. Everybody doing it.
I love the boost after boost bot.
Boost after boost bot. We're interactive, man. We got the super chat of the future. YouTube can suck my dick all the way down to the stem. I will be seeing you every Tuesday night till they drag me away. And I'll also see you Friday night with Toontoon Mousy Bear. We're going to be here right around 9 Central for another Bulls with Buds. But you know, until then, I'm just going to remain Sir Spencer, Wolf of Kansas City.
And I will forever be Dame DeLorean. Until next time, may your bowls burn ever brighter.
The Bowl After Bowl guys are pushing the value for value so hard.
Yeah, I like money, though.
I'm sure they would just jizzing all over themselves for that.
Honey, you reap.
That's a side effect of the marijuana poisoning.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, right, cool, kinky, yeah, right on, yeah, nice.
She wasn't wearing anything.
Oh, man.
Bowl after bowl till he's sick.
Bowl after bowl. Bowl after bowl. Bowl after bowl. Bowl after bowl.com.